NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Illinois is the land of opportunity. Family, community, patriotism are the values that make us strong. But over the last several years, our state has been adrift. Corruption has replaced leadership. I'm running for governor because I believe Illinois can do better.
Blagojevich is very much in tune with this part of the district in some ways. He is pro-gay rights, pro-abortion rights, things like that nature. But his political roots are right out of the old machine.
You voted for change. I intend to deliver it.
If you really believe that, Governor, I think, you know, you would give us already a list of the gifts that you have gotten, the gifts of a $15,000 check allegedly to your daughter. You have the most investigated administration in the history of the state of Illinois, bar none.
I was surprised when he came to me and said he wanted to run for governor. And he couldn't really articulate for me why. And it goes back to this question of folks who want to do something and folks who want to be something.
The Great Blago, part one. Let's go. Welcome to Fraudsters, the podcast that gives you the scams you love from the fraudsters we hate. I'm your co-host, Sina Gazdavi, along with Ariel Leite and Justin Williams. Wow, guys, we are here.
Wow.
Yes.
With Rod Blagojevich.
Blagojevich.
Hot Rod. Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. I like that.
He's a hardcore man's man. Governor Rod, best hair in the biz, Blagojevich. You may know Rod from his scandal where he tried to sell President-elect Barack Obama's Senate seat. You may know him from his sentence commuted by President Trump, or you may not know him at all. And if that's the case, I love that for you.
I love it. I love it. Yo, I got Obama's Senate seat for sale. 20 for 2 for 10.
Scalping a Senate seat.
I got this bootleg DVD of Avatar and a Senate seat.
Yeah.
I want both. What can I do for both?
And a Stop Snitching t-shirt that says, if you see the police, warn a brother with a Warner Brothers logo.
I would buy it for that. I want that more than the Senate seat, to be honest with you.
And a bottle of water. I got a bottle of water, too.
Gotta stay hydrated out in these streets. Blago married into a family that launched him from backbench Blago to Governor Blago to inmate Blago number 408-92424, who teaches history. In this three-part series, we'll dive deep into how Rod's sausage got made and how his salami got fried. Tasteful humor. Here on
pause.
Pause for uproarious laughter from the audience.
Pause from the urban sausage community. Yeah.
Sausage is salami.
Oh, pause. That pause.
Here we go. Representation matters.
Yes. So we all know how to say his name now, right? I think we've done it enough. Can we say his name? Do we all know?
I think I can do it. And you know I'm so bad at this. Blagojevich. Yeah.
There you go.
Say his name. Pause.
Sorry, I've been listening to the Cameron podcast. And that's all they hear.
Yeah, you're right. You did tell us that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we've all had a lot of practice saying Blagojevich, but my partner, Cosmo, has not. And she's never actually heard of Blagojevich. She also doesn't listen to the show. But besides the point, she has to listen to me all the time. It's not a big deal. Here's her trying to pronounce Blagojevich.
Blagojevich.
Sir, try to say it. Rod is his first name.
Rod.
And then the last name?
Blagojevich.
Where is the D?
Blagojevich.
Blagojevich. What if I told you it was Blagojevich?
Whoa, Blagojevich.
Okay, so it's pretty easy, right? And it's Serbian. That shouldn't be scary to anyone. Blagojevich. Everyone try it at home. Take a minute. Blagojevich. See? Not hard. He was the second son of two immigrant parents from Yugoslavia, a country that, much like Blagojevich's political career, no longer exists. Now, some brief history. The Blagos moved to Chicago in 1947. By the way, I love how I just talked about how it's so easy to say his name, but what you'll notice is that we never say his last name. We're just going to say Blago the entire time.
Big B.
Because it's just that much easier.
Yeah.
So the Blagos moved to Chicago in 1947. They had virtually nothing. They lived in a 5-room apartment on the Northwest Side. His dad was a factory worker. His mom took tickets at the Chicago Transit Authority. Just a few years after they arrived, Chicago would enter the Age of Daley, where Richard Daley would be the mayor and head one of the most powerful political machines in American history. What does that mean? Well, he ran the city for 21 years. Then his son, Richard M. Daley, held the same office for 22 years until 2011. This is the Sopranos of Chicago. Do you even think people knew a new Daley came into office after the first 21 years?
Probably not. They like the name Daley. We're going to stick with what we know.
Oh, my God.
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
People got very upset with Bloomberg taking it on the third term or whatever. This guy was in office for 21 years.
Yeah. That's a lot of shaved beef.
That's
pause.
That's what they eat. Yeah.
The city of Chicago has the most public corruption convictions of any city in the United States. From 1976 to 2012, in the Northern District of Illinois, the district encompassing the greater Chicago area alone, over 1,500 convictions were handed down. That's so fucking many, by the way.
Yeah. That's not a long period of time. Historically speaking, 76 to 2012.
Holy shit. What is it? That's like 30 some years, right? Almost 36 years.
Jesus.
And 1,500 convictions. I can't do the math very easily there, but that's a lot of convictions. The rest of Illinois only logged 300. But together, wow, it's the third most of any state in the country. That's fucking nuts.
Wow.
I want to know what the other states were. It's like, it's got to be like Louisiana, right? It's got to be like,
or like more, Missouri, yeah, or something like that, where it's just,
Missouri's not super
Missouri's good?
No, I would say like Louisiana, New Jersey, and New York. Like
yeah, where I can see that. I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Jersey, not us.
Not New Jersey. Really above board, New Jersey.
Very above board.
Blagojevich knew he had to work the system to rise in social status. How does he go from poor immigrant son to governor's mansion? Who does a guy have to sleep with to get somewhere in this city?
Pause.
Technically.
Pause.
Technically, that's part of what happened. More on that later, though. According to Rod, when he was a kid, he had tons of odd jobs. He spent time as a shoe shiner and a pizza delivery boy. He got a job at a meatpacking plant and also washed dishes for the Trans-Alaskan pipeline system. He always was hustling, angling for a better position. When he was 11, he felt like he wasn't getting enough playing time on his Little League baseball team, so he engineered a trade to a different team, despite that being illegal. Legality for Rod was always something to be managed. You gotta work the system, people.
He's like an 11-year-old general managing himself with his like branch Ricky suit.
It's like washing money for a local candy dealer. In high school, Rod started boxing and even fought in a couple Golden Glove fights. One of his trainers from the time would say that he wasn't a good boxer, but he had heart and he liked to fight. He went 7-1-0 in his career, retiring after his first loss. He wanted to do something where he could only win and never lose, so he parlayed his connections in the sports world into a bookmaking enterprise. Really an honest Rod's business, if you ask me.
Okay.
Just to be clear, he was not an accountant. He was a bookie. He made his money off the backs of degenerate gamblers. Oh, my Lord.
Wow. His early biography is if Rocky decided to, like, actually not pursue boxing and just kept taking all of the shadier jobs in the Philadelphia underworld.
Adrian, we hit the numbers. You can't do something like that without permission from the people really in charge. And he got his permission from a mobster named Bobby the Boxer, whose palms Rod would have to grease in order to keep his racket. You know what? I like you, Rod, because you're a boxer. You know me? I'm Bobby the Boxer. You a boxer? I'm a boxer. We're boxer squared. Okay, that's what we're going to call it, the boxer squared.
Wow. Now, some people call me a boxer because I got big jowls and I look like a German dog. But
contrary to popular opinion, I'm Bobby the Boxer because I like to box, not because I like to kill people with a box cutter. That is... is different.
That's my father. Not because I turned my head in confusion at the front door when my wife leaves for work.
But Rod wanted to be on the other side of the law. He wanted a real life. Instead of a life jacking money from people on the streets, he fancied a life jacking money from the people in power. A regular Robin Hood.
Wow.
All of these, though, made him feel like a man of the people. After high school, he went to the University of Tampa for 2 years in order to boost his GPA, enough to transfer to Northwestern. He boasted about being a mediocre student, but received a BA in history anyways in 1979. 4 years later, he would earn his JD. It's a law degree, same one I have, from Pepperdine School of Law, very religious school, beautiful campus, by the way. Rod wanted to become a prosecutor and aligned himself with a fellow Yugoslavian he met through community connections, Alderman Edward Verdelak. But that relationship ended badly when Verdelak failed to secure him a prosecutor's position. So I'll be friends with you until you can't do something for me, and then I'm going to move on. That's life.
Yeah.
In 1986, he became an assistant state's attorney in Cook County, Illinois, prosecuting traffic and criminal cases. In 1988, Rod went into private practice. Much like his subpar school record, Rob boasted that he wasn't even a good attorney.
Oh, shit. Oh, gosh.
I'm not so good. But Rod knew being the best wasn't the only way to get ahead. This man knew about failing up so early.
I like the way he thinks. I'm not going to lie to you. This appeals to the New Jersey in me. This appeals to me.
Also in 1988... Rod met his new girlfriend, Patty Melt, which is so close to Patty Melt that I'm having a hard time believing any of these names in the story are real. And who was Patty's father? That's right, Alderman Dick Melt. Patty's father was a dick, and her husband is a Rod.
Pause!
Yo.
Can't make this stuff up. Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Pause. An alderman is like a city councilman, for those that don't know, depending on where you live, right? And they have like different kind of like purviews. Dick Mel was actually vice mayor at the time that Rod met his daughter, which is a position that the city council votes one of its members into. Chicago has 50. Alderman Dick was the top dog. When Dick finally retired in 2013, true to form in Chicago politics, his other daughter, Deb, filled his seat. I mean, it's like crazy nepotism. And what's more, Rod and Patty married in 1990, and it wouldn't take long for the marriage to pay off for Rod. Nepo baby-in-law? Yes, please. As an alderman in Chicago, you're only as good as the connection and allies that you have. And there's no more important ally than a state representative. In 1992, Mel was betrayed by his state rep that had been his ally. Remember this about Mel because it'll be important later. Smelling weakness, other party bosses started coming for Dick Mel. U.S. Congressman Dan Rostenkowski and fellow alderman Ed Kelly made a deal to freeze Dick Mel out. Mel was facing political emasculation and needed an ally in the state house stat. Dan Rostenkowski, by the way, was no joke. He is a loon, a real go-getter. Here's a quick clip from Dan Rostenkowski.
Have you been chased out of a meeting in your district before, Congressman? Have you been chased out of a meeting in your district before? Have you been chased out of a meeting?
Who are you?
Phil Rechtenbach.
You think I was chased out of that meeting?
It sure looks like it.
It is. Yeah.
Then Rostenkowski raced across the street to his waiting car and driver, still pursued by angry senior citizens.
He's supposed to represent the people, not himself.
Oh, it's so good. Goodness. In the 90s, senior citizens just chasing you, and then you deny that you're being chased out as they're chasing you. It's just.
You think I was chased out of there? He got in that man's face.
Yeah. He's
like. I think I was chasing.
I'm just walking
out.
Away from those people. Guess who stepped up for Dick, though? The one guy that he knew. The one guy. Guess who stepped up for Dick, though? Old Rod. That's right. Boss!
I'm not going to say it. You just know it. You know I'm thinking.
Just feel it. That's right.
Just feel it.
Dick used whatever political capital he had left and backed Rod Blagojevich for state representative. Rod defeated a 14-year vet of the state house and secured Mel a powerful ally. He would later repeat the story while he was campaigning for governor that his mother had sat him down after he won his Senate seat and made him promise to always be honest and never take bribes. Then she added, quote, "Now, do you think you can get Aunt Daisy's son-in-law a job?" I mean, is there another job that requires this much soft corruption that we're just totally okay with? I don't think so. This is just, it's just politics.
Is soft corruption? I don't know. Feels
soft?
Pretty hard to
hard?
No.
Got him! As a state rep, Rod backed many progressive agendas as long as they were also populist. He voted for school funding increases, gay rights, women's rights, and reforms in all branches of government. Ironically, he backed a proposal to require lobbyists to be upfront about how much they had given to members of legislative committees before they testified. So far, so good. I mean, I like Rob so far.
Yeah, seems like a nice guy.
I feel a Carcetti from The Wire arc coming here.
Yeah. Rod won again in 1994, but the Republicans took control of the House. Rod joined a group of young Democrats hoping to distance themselves from the old guard. They called themselves the New Democrats. It didn't amount to much in terms of political power, but it did get some people talking. I assume one of those people was Vince McMahon, because the next year, the WWE debuted the Hulk Hogan-led New World Order.
Oh, God.
Politics is entertainment, people. Woo!
The new Democrat sounds like a, English band from the 80s.
I was going to say, I think I saw them in Bushwick in 2005.
Before it was cool.
As for those other Democrats that Rod and his young bloods were trying to distance themselves from, they were getting into some trouble. The U.S. Congressman Rostenkowski, that had attempted to cut the legs off Dick Mel, was indicted on federal corruption charges and as a result lost his 1994 re-election campaign to his Republican opponent. This paved the way for Rod to level up. In 1996, Rod ran for U.S. Congress. Now, a lot was happening in 96. And there's a little great breakdown of this race that I found for Illinois' 5th District on C-SPAN from that time period. So let's listen. It's a bit of a longer clip, but it'll put everything into some nice context for you.
This was the district for almost a quarter century of Dan Rostenkowski, the former chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, who pled guilty to some corruption time and is now doing time in a prison a couple hundred miles that way. When Rostenkowski was still in office, several Democrats ran against him in the primary because all this talk about he's in trouble, he's corrupt, he's going to be indicted, had started to spread. But the old machine pulled him through. But in between the primary and the general, his legal problems got worse and worse. so much that anybody but Rostenkowski could have won. And in fact, that's what happened. An absolutely unknown attorney who nobody had ever heard of, even most Republicans, named Michael Patrick Flanagan, was a Republican nominee, and he beat Rostenkowski. And Mr. Flanagan went to Washington. The question now is whether he can hang on to his seat. He is a real sharp guy. Has very good instincts.
Wait, pause this. I don't like to make fun of the way people look, but this man looks more Chicago than any human I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, he looks like that SNL thing, the Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah. Well, and I also like Chicago and places like that, because just like everyone has like an insane Irish or Polish name.
Yeah, we'll have to show this on video as well, because Representative Michael Flanagan, the Republican from Illinois' 5th District, looks like he is a spawn of Ditka. Let's go back to Greg Hines from Crane's Chicago Business, by the way, giving us some more context.
To run in what is basically a Democratic, mostly Chicago urban district with Newt Gingrich on his back. And Newt Gingrich is of limited help in this part of the world. The other guy, Rob Blagojevich, worst thing about him is his name, which is so bad that they actually did a commercial during the primary trying to spell out, this is Blagojevich, ha ha ha, they had a couple kids joking. Blagojevich is very much in tune with this part of the district in some ways. He pro-gay rights, pro-abortion rights, things like that nature. But his political roots are right out of the old machine. His Rob Blagojevich is alive as a political factor because his son-in-law, because his father-in-law, Dick Mell, is the alderman committeeman of the 33rd Ward in the middle of the Northwest Side. And he got written up by the Tribune. There was a big front page story a few days ago about how a machine boss who still knows how to crank it out. Rod is on the map because his father-in-law is there. And that's one of the issues in this race, just as much as Newt Gingrich is. You'll see Mr. Flanagan, I think, to some degree, not against Blagojevich, but against Blagojevich's evil father-in-law who's pulling the strings. And you'll see Blagojevich run not against Mr. Flanagan, who's kind of a nice guy, actually, but against the evil Newt Gingrich, who's telling him what to do.
I think this is so incredible because you hear something like, he's the alderman of the Northwest District in the 33rd Ward. It sounds so like specific and remote and weird, but politics creates this complexity which inherently becomes fraudulent. And so you have a thing that's like a machine and they run everything, because how are you supposed to keep track of this stuff?
Well, it's just like the size of Chicago, right? So if somebody says, you know, like about New York or something, oh, he's, you know, the New York's 4th congressional district or something. But it's just like, you know, you just have like Midtown Manhattan. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a specific part of town. But in the context of this, it's like these are major, major urban areas with a ton of money, ton of donors, you know.
There's so much money.
Yeah, and they're good bellwethers for where especially in the Democratic Party, where it's going to go, because they're the most like liberal parts of the Democratic Party, right?
And then also talking about how like a machine can create a candidate still, right? And create a race and create someone that's going to like hold office. And when he was running in this 1996 race for Congress, the Democratic National Convention was hosted in Chicago. So this is Bill Clinton's reelection campaign. And Blago was obviously slated to speak. But you remember when Barack Obama gave his big DNC speech? I think it was, 2004?
Yes.
Right? That was a huge deal. You know, he got brought out, big fanfare, gave this incredible speech. But who was the opening act for Blago?
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, 10x worse.
No, nothing worse than that.
No!
Joe Lieberman?
Play the clip. It's literally you can't imagine how bad.
I'm scared. Ludicrous.
OJ.
OJ.
Carol Moseley Brown wasn't on the podium yesterday, and she said, I want to see what that Macarena is all about. So let's have a little fun here.
Okay, I was close.
Actually. Yeah. The infamous DNC Macarena.
The Macarena!
It is the greatest racial disparity in. Like, yeah, there's a lot of offbeat
This was not a good moment for white people.
No.
And this, the one black woman they should, she's like, I don't know what's happening.
I actually have no idea.
You know, some historian is saying the Macarena as a probably a phenomenon was probably like, they're probably saying that was the prelude to like reggaeton taking over the world. They're like, Daddy Yankee. Wave. Yeah, yeah. They were like, the Macarena was like the trial balloon.
Yeah. Before Bad Bunny, Daddy Yankee, Pitbull.
Yeah.
There's something to that. Well, that's the next episode. We'll talk about that.
All right, but listen, you can't keep Rod down. He wins this race, and in a particularly nasty primary. Oh, God. This Rod is always alert. Rod leaned on Dick Mal and his political clout. But he was in the House now, and Dick Mal felt it was time for a little payback. But whatever Dick Mal wanted, Rod didn't kiss the ring enough. And their relationship began to disintegrate. We'll be right back after this.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Welcome back. There are some in the House that work hard for their constituents. Toe the party line, shun the spotlight. Blago was not one of these people. Rod liked headlines. Rod likes the perception of action. In 1999, against the wishes of the Clinton machine, Rod and fellow spotlight enthusiast Jesse Jackson traveled to Kosovo to negotiate the release of 3 U.S. servicemen who had been held captive as political prisoners. Clinton considered the visit an intrusion into his public policy domain. Okay, what? What? It's like we went from the Macarena to him speaking to, okay, he's going to Kosovo?
And you know, it's like a, you know, for like him going back to the Balkans, right? You know, it's like kind of like a Sopranos moment where they go back to Italy.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, this is his thing. He's like, I'm going to go talk to my people. I could do this, guys. I could do this. If, for those that don't know, the Kosovo War was fought between a Kosovo rebel group called the Kosovo Liberation Army and the Yugoslavian government. A majority of ethnic Albanians were seeking independence from Yugoslavian repression in Kosovo. The war also included a NATO bombing campaign against Yugoslav forces, which the Clinton administration was key in the planning of.
Very important, our intervention in the Balkans, because it's the time that we actually went to war to preserve Muslim lives.
Yeah. Well, we don't do that anymore.
Wow, yeah, we definitely don't do that.
Now we've got some clips from the AP documenting this monumental moment. Oh, I can't wait.
I'm the only person in the government who's going on this trip. And so what I need to do is be very careful and very clear that I'm only there for one purpose, and that is to try to help our soldiers, see them, convey messages to them, and then do what I can to assist and join Reverend Jackson in the efforts to get them released.
He just, it's not about him. Guys, it's not about him.
It's not?
It's about the soldiers. It's about the troops.
I didn't know he went on this trip. I remember Jesse Jackson going over there. You know, because like Chris Rock has that joke about it, right? He's like, what did Jesse Jackson say to them to get him to give up them troops? What did Jesse Jackson say? He said, you really want America to be mad at you? Get him, give me them troops.
That's a really good Chris Rock impression.
All you do is just repeat the premise. That's like true. Three times.
Rod talking about the soldiers here being released and the reactions to seeing him and Reverend Jesse Jackson. Let's see this clip.
Sergeant Stone was the first one to see us. He's from Michigan. He's the one with the bruise on his forehead that's healing and with the birthmark. And he walked into the room, just to give you a sense of this, in his fatigues, in his uniform, not knowing where he was going, because he had this confused look on his face. Walked in, saw the New York Times reporter, and then he saw a guy in a suit who happened to be me, and then he saw Reverend Jackson, and you should have seen his face light up, because he realized this was an important person whom he knew, and he knew there were people who were thinking about him, and that someone was working on his behalf and on his colleagues' behalf to see about securing their release.
Imagine seeing Jesse Jackson. That's what Jesse just been in prison. Like, all right, I'll take it. I'll take it.
you're a white soldier. And you're like I've never been happier to see a black civil rights leader.
If Jesse's here, I know I'm going to be all right.
Oh, my God. So he got tired of being caught in Congress, which is notable. And he decided, okay, what's the next step? I should run for governor. Rod's primary focus, though, was gun control, and he spearheaded a series of incremental initiatives to that end. Celebrated in the Democratic enclaves of the state, Rod would have to maneuver around his record when campaigning for governor in the southern gun-friendly areas of Illinois. Here's Rod's ad about getting it done for his campaign as governor.
Illinois is the land of opportunity. Family, community, patriotism are the values that make us strong. But over the last several years, our state has been adrift. Corruption has replaced leadership. I'm running for governor because I believe Illinois can do better. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's focus on doing what's right. Creating jobs, improving schools, and making healthcare affordable. It's up to us. Let's get it done.
Blagojevich means opportunity for all of Illinois.
Blagojevich in Serbia.
I don't know if that's what that means.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
This is one hell of a Blagojevich. Thank you for offering that to me. I like Chicago politics because, there's this like upstate downstate dynamic. So it's totally this repackaging of a Chicago guy as somebody who can try to peel off enough of the rural vote to win the governor.
Yeah, let's film you in some grass. That'll
people love that.
People love that. Spoiler alert, though. Rod the Bod with the cod from God won the race and became governor in 2001 for the state of Illinois. Here's his inaugural address from C-SPAN.
Some will say it is time to merely manage problems, not solve them. A time to give up on our dreams, not pursue them. I say we must move forward, as Illinois has always done in times of crisis. We will meet our challenges head on, and we will do it by rejecting the politics of mediocrity and corruption. You voted for change. I intend to deliver it.
It's super interesting that his whole platform was fighting corruption. Like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Constantly talking about corruption.
Hey, it takes one to know one. You gotta
I guess so.
Also, it's interesting. You know.
Like, his perspective on just like, this is a moment of crisis and change. Like all campaigns have to be about change.
Yeah.
And then once you're like already in office, it's about continuing how great everything is.
Yeah.
Let's go to this other clip. He's talking about Illinois as state pioneers and talks about values.
We are, after all, a state of pioneers. In the early 1800s, against the toughest of odds, settlers came to the prairies of the Illinois Territory
and slaughtered
with the dream
its indigenous
of building
people.
A better life.
We are
a state
of strong
values, values that still endure. Abraham Lincoln didn't just happen to come of age in Illinois. He drew his strength from our state, and our state drew its strength from him.
I don't know about
Let
that.
Us never forget that when our nation was most divided, it was Illinois
that united and led. We are also a state of working families. We know there is honor in working hard. There is dignity in making steel, cars, machine tools, software, in cleaning a school, teaching a class, plowing the field, mining for coal, nursing a patient, driving a truck, patrolling our streets, providing daycare, working the third shift. As it is said. As it is said in Proverbs, man is filled with good things as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. If we will stand for anything in this new administration, we will stand for this: opportunity. We will stand with the working families for the right to earn a good living wage. And we will work.
People are so juiced.
Yeah. And we will work as hard as you do to make the American dream real for all of Illinois. We are a great state of commerce and innovation. Our administration will honor work, and we will help those who create that work. I've never understood those people who love jobs but hate business. I will be a pro-growth governor. We will help small businesses grow. We will nurture an entrepreneurial spirit that fuels innovation and growth. We will work to bring opportunity to every part of Illinois.
You can see why people like this guy.
Yeah, he's,
he literally listed every job in Chicago.
Every job.
Every single fucking job. It's a hot dog salesman at Wrigley Field. You know, like, he, what the?
I know. I really wanted him to do like a rap song. But I guess that was before its time.
Yeah.
With all the jobs in Illinois.
And you know, my favorite part is when they switch into a different language. Here's a clip of him getting into some Espanol.
Oh, I love that. Oh. I love that too. Give me more
white,
of that.
White Spanish is, oh yeah.
This is the best, is the only Spanish.
¿De dónde está la trabajando
con tus manos?
Let us work to reaffirm the truth that we are stronger together than we are apart. We are one Illinois. Together, we will change things for people.
Crushing it.
Juntos haremos nuestro estado mucho mejor para todos.
Oh!
Wampa!
Wow! Let's go! Play that again. Selecta! Roll that back!
Yeah.
Juntos haremos nuestro estado mucho mejor para todos.
I think it's just together we're going to make everything better for everyone.
Yeah.
Together, forever.
Together,
for
forever.
Forever, forever.
Just a basic thing.
I like how like white liberals of the 90s came out of this machine. It's like still very much. It's like, are you JFK-ish?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, oh, God. Totally like what all of these guys look like. It's like JFK's like legacy in the Democratic Party is so big that it's all like tall like guys with a good head of hair.
Yeah.
They're pretty good looking, right? It's a thing that's not really around anymore.
Illinois has a absolutely awful track record of picking corrupt governors. This is incredible. Otto Kerner, governor from 1961 to 1968. A war vet, son of a U.S. district attorney, went to prison for purchasing stock of a racetrack at a discount in exchange for ensuring that the track got the prime race days and not one, but two highway exits added for convenience. What?
Like the shadiest business, a racetrack in the 1960s. It's like that, there's no way in the world the mafia wasn't involved in that.
Yeah. And you built infrastructure to get to that racetrack that's still there today, I bet. I don't know if it is, but I'm sure you don't just tear down a highway exit.
Oh yeah.
Why are there so many exits to get to this racetrack?
Oh yeah, the Sam Giancana exit to recreational activities is still there.
Yeah. Dan Walker, governor from 1973 to 1977, a real man of the people. He walked nearly 1,200 miles across Illinois during the campaign. He was convicted after he left office of a $1.4 million scam in 1987, where he was using savings and loans companies as his personal piggy bank. And I think at one point we do need to do the savings and loan scandal of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah, John McCain's in it. It's good.
Yep. Everyone got a piece. George Ryan, governor from 1999 to 2003, a Republican governor who's cleared the state's death row and condemned. A Republican governor who cleared the state's death row, as not by killing them, but like taking them out of death row and condemned capital punishment, which sounds incredible. He was convicted of taking bribes for giving out trucking licenses and other modes of access to his office. What's the problem with a trucking license?
I know.
Oh. Yeah. Well, the scam resulted in several deaths from improperly licensed drivers.
I was like, this guy sounds great. Like, what's the problem?
What is the big deal?
This is how I'm easily scammed, because I'm like, everything in the front load sounds great. What's the problem?
Yeah,
like,
I'd vote for him.
Yeah, and then people die.
You need more trucks, then they drive right to your house.
And George Ryan, mind you, that was the previous governor. And then Blago comes in. Governor from 2003 to 2009. Come on, Illinois.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Okay, but how did Blago actually win, though? Well, he started by just raising a lot more money than everyone else. That's the key to politics, right? This worked to dissuade any political rivals from entering the race once they saw that this motherfucker got stacks on racks. He also spent much of his time attempting to sway downstaters. That's a term for people in the southern part of Illinois who tend to be more conservative. He also took the interesting tactic of trying to align his opponent, Jim Ryan, with the previously disgraced governor, George Ryan. They are not related, but they do have the same name. Unfortunately, for many voters, this is a great tactic. Their names weren't the only thing that Rod was comparing from the two Ryans.
Pause.
However, opponent is all over this script. It's like, I don't even know where I'm landing. I may step on a rod. Opponent Jim Ryan had been the attorney general at the time of disgraced ex-governor George Ryan's scandal. Blagojevich repeated that Jim Ryan should have investigated George Ryan while he was attorney general. I don't know. He probably should have. Do I like Rod Blagojevich? Maybe.
So far, I do.
So far, he's done nothing wrong. Yeah, he's done nothing wrong.
He's actually pretty cool for the 90s.
Yeah. He likes the gays. Hip. He's pro-choice. Like, I'm into it. I'm invested.
He's pro-gun control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I don't know. We'll find out.
He hangs out with Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing so far.
His election was tough. And even though he won, he made some enemies in the statewide Democratic Party. Illinois Democrat Chairman Michael Madigan was one of these enemies. During the campaign, Rod took aim at the chairman's office, claiming they were misusing state workers. Celebrity political analyst and podcaster David Axelrod worked for non-Axelrod Blagojevich when he was a state legislator. There's a quick clip here, again from C-SPAN, of David Axelrod talking with James Warren about Rod Blagojevich and why he even helped him.
Let's go now distinctly local. Rod Blagojevich, why did you help him become a congressman, but very clearly not governor?
Well, I helped him become a congressman because I thought he would be a good congressman, a good representative for that district. I did not see in him the qualities for executive leadership. And I was surprised when he came to me and said he wanted to run for governor. And he couldn't really articulate for me why. And it goes back to this question of folks who want to do something and folks who want to be something. Particularly when you're running for an office like that, you ought to know what you want to do. You ought to know why you're doing it. And it can't just be that it's cool to be governor.
It can't?
And so I just, you know, I just felt I couldn't be with that program. And, you know, and I told him that. And that was, in many ways, the end of our relationship.
Yeah. I guess Barack Obama had a better pitch for him. He's like, well, yeah. I want to be the first black president of all time and pass healthcare reform.
Sold.
All right. Now, that's a pitch, kid. I think you actually can do something.
How are you not able to articulate why you want to be fucking governor?
I mean, we saw his little speech, his little list speech. He's just not very good at
Rod speech.
Yeah,
little Rod speech.
Little Rod. He's just not very good at the explaining of it all. He it's mostly fluff. If you really pay attention to him, he's mostly just fluff.
It's consultant speech. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one writing essays like when you're in college and you have to like fluff up the paper so you add spaces and make the letters bigger so that it looks like you did 20 pages. That's him.
He's a good head of hair with some connections in Chicago.
Yeah.
There was a great podcast that this radio station WBEZ in Chicago put out called Public Official A. And here's a quick clip from Peter Giangreco, a political media consultant for Rod at that time.
Consultant Pete Giangreco joined the Blagojevich campaign early when Rod seemed like a long shot.
People weren't taking his phone calls. They were like, ah, he's kind of a schmucko, blah, blah, blah. He was not taken seriously.
And then Rod amassed a giant war chest.
He all of a sudden became real. People were like, hey, you got to take this guy seriously. And that was the lesson that he probably overlearned, which was that money was power. The equation that somehow money took him from a backbencher to governor, he became obsessed about it.
Wow, look at that. Obsessed with money. I don't think that leads to any problems, does it?
Mo' money, mo' problems, as Mace said once.
Another enemy Rod had made was the man whom he would be nothing without, his own father-in-law, Alderman Dick Mell. Mell thought he was being kept out of Rod's inner circle. How dare he, after all he had done for Rod? Of course, their relationship had always been mutually beneficial, but Dick wanted more. Dick stumped hard for Rod. By 2004, their relationship was seemingly irreparable. In 2005, their feud would bubble up at a family dinner. Mel was resentful of Rod, that he had been distanced. This is where it all starts to come apart for Blagojevich. One shitty dinner. The dinner centered around a landfill run by a cousin of Mel's wife. Apparently, Rod overheard the cousin at a family dinner bragging that he let his customers dump illegal debris at the site due to his close relationship with both the alderman and the governor. Rod tried to get it shut down for environmental reasons. Eventually, it would reopen. But can you imagine this dinner?
I don't have to imagine this dinner. I saw this episode of The Sopranos. Okay. There's an episode about
it. Yes, the asbestos plot line from season 6, yeah.
After this dinner, Dick Mell would speak a little too emotionally to a reporter. After all, he had his last protege do this exact same thing with him. Remember earlier I said, don't forget, he got burned once already. Now, he felt like it was all happening again. And he popped off to a reporter, and we actually have from the WBEZ is the outlet that broke this and who Dick Mell spoke with. So let's play the clip from them, and you'll hear what Dick Mell ended up saying.
It was my dad who was angry. It's all about the stupid landfill, right? Mm-hmm. Cousin Frankie, whoever this, you know, who I met like maybe twice in my life. My mother's second cousin had this like landfill. Cousin Frankie supposedly was telling people, you can dump whatever you want into that landfill because I'm cousins with the First Lady, you know? So that gets back to us. And now what does Rod do? You know, obviously he knows this now. He can't ignore it. He shut the landfill down and my dad got pissed off and he was in Florida and somebody told him that, I don't know how it happened, but my dad made this like accusation that Chris Kelly was selling boards and commission seats for $50,000. I don't even know what it was. Mm-hmm.
That accusation that Dick Mell made became a scoop that our City Hall reporter and I broke in the Sun-Times. My colleague, Fran Spielman, talked to Mell on the phone. He was ranting about his son-in-law, the landfill, and cousin Frankie. Mell was letting it rip with a long list of complaints. Things like, Rod throws anyone under the bus. He uses people, and he used me. He uses everybody, and when there's no more use, he discards them. Mel then complained that he'd been displaced by fundraising chief Chris Kelly. Dick compared himself to a spurned spouse replaced by a trophy wife. And then he said the damning part, that Chris Kelly traded gubernatorial appointments to state boards for $50,000 checks to the governor's political fund.
So this is crazy. I mean, Mel went on the record in an interview with the Chicago Tribune as well to accuse Rod of, quote, destroying our family and saying the closing was a highly personal vendetta carried out against him, the closing of the landfill. He further accused Rod of taking extreme steps to foster a public image of a white knight reformer. And then years later, of course, Mel would go further saying, quote, worst decision of my life to put that guy up for governor. In 2006, our man Rod won re-election. In fact, he was the first Democratic governor to win two terms since 1964. Sure, he was a bit consumed with scandals, but what successful Illinois politician didn't have a few apologies to make? At least he had kept his promises. He didn't raise income taxes. He also had some good wins like funding preschool for low-income children. Of course, he was helped a bit by how batshit his Republican contender was, Judy Barr Topinka.
Yeah, I do like this. The Illinois runs crazy people in the Republican Party because it's a blue state, so they don't put any thing in it. Like, this is good.
Yeah, they're not backing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like whoever wants to be the sacrificial lamb.
Judy was a comptroller, right? So she played the accordion, wore thrift store clothes, and carried around a cup of gas station coffee constantly.
Oh my God, she sounds just like me. I literally love her.
She's either crazy or just lives in Bushwick.
Yeah,
Along with these many quirks, Judy was honest and forthright, speaking in harsh words, and they all said she told it like it is.
Especially when it came to ethnic minorities.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was going to say I'm a fan of Judy Topinka, but I didn't know that she's racist.
No, I didn't know. I'm just assuming.
We're just assuming. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is just us.
Usually, a Republican candidate in Illinois that tells it like it is usually has some very strong opinions about Chicago's South Side.
Oh, okay. All right.
These thugs on the South Side. All right, let's play this quick clip from C-SPAN and Judy. Shout out to C-SPAN, by the way. Damn, I love you guys. This is Judy giving a response to Rod's opening remarks at the 2006 gubernatorial debate.
Well, I think it's very difficult for this administration and the governor here to say that they have had all this transparency, that they've come back in on the white horse and done all these things, because really and truly, what do we know here? If you really believe that, Governor, I think, you know, you would give us already a list of the gifts that you have gotten the gifts of a $15,000 check, allegedly to your daughter, which all I ask is that, you know, and you could clear this up just right tonight and say you were going to tell us where that was deposited, so that's off the table. Now we hear about, you know, a kind of a strange deal about your property taxes. You have the most investigated administration in the history of the state of Illinois, bar none. Your personal finances are being questioned by the FBI. You know, you said you were going to solve the problems of the state. In fact, you said they are solved. And yet, here we are, and you know, we have the U.S. attorney consistently chasing after you and your contributors and making allegations, including calling you public official A.
Damn. Slot there. We'll actually get to the $15,000 check as well there.
I never thought I'd be on the side of a Republican from Illinois, but I'm she's kind of right.
By the way,
girl boss,
in that shot, I don't know if you noticed the large cup of McDonald's coffee with the straw at the top.
Yeah.
You know, God bless.
She's just like my abuelo, loves McDonald's coffee. There's something about it.
Hell yeah.
If you don't burn your mouth off with a straw.
Right. The McCafe, what are we doing?
Judy Bartopinko is either someone who quit the Republican Party when Trump came around, or her net presence is like unsettling since then. Like,
yeah.
That's why I like tracing 90s Republicans, because they're like mostly a reasonable party with, you know, outside of a few hot button issues. But like now it's like you have to be insane to be in that party.
Yeah. You're either on the scam train or you're not.
Yeah.
Here's another clip from Judy speaking at a rally in 2006 when she was running for governor and being a problematic queen.
Okay, here we go. Uh-oh, Christian County.
We're sitting on a gold mine in terms of coal and alternative energy. And with the things we can do, we can make this the alternative energy capital of the United States. We can make this such a central point of mobility between the coasts and between all the trade that goes on now globally. What we can do to provide energy for a whole world, and also to get us away from the dependence that we have on oil and the crazies out there in the Middle East that want to kill us, for God's sakes.
Gotta get the crazies in the Middle East that are trying to kill us.
Yes.
I see.
I take back everything nice I ever said about Judy Bartopinka. Please delete.
Well, I mean, not for nothing. There are some crazies in the Middle East. There's crazies everywhere.
Let's not do that. I won't allow Judy Bartopinka to paint the Middle East.
But we're not importing energy from Al Qaeda. We're importing it from like...
Here's another one. The best of Judy Bartopinka. I love these things. It's just so great. Oh, God. WICS ABC 20 put this out after she passed away.
Aww.
Well, calling her fellow Republican candidates morons and saying Rod Blagojevich had, quote, weasel eyes were just two examples of memorable lines delivered by Judy Bartopinka.
That's right. She was never one to hold back. Those remarks came during Topinka's unsuccessful run for governor in 2006. She sat down with News Channel 20 before she was reelected as comptroller last month, winning against Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon. Now this morning, we bring you the best of Judy Bartopinka.
We've really done a lot with what was kind of a sleepy office. Well, it sleeps no more. The lion does not sleep all night. You know, it's that old folk song, the lion sleeps tonight. No longer. We're moving.
She got a highlight reel on ABC.
I like it. I I'm on the fence about it. I don't like the sort of racist fear trope about the Middle East and Christian County, but I do like her referring to herself as a lion who's waking up to comp troll.
Roar.
Yeah, I like her. I liked her energy.
But here's the crazy thing about Judy, though. She only spent $9 million on her campaign against Rod's $27 million.
Just way too much money in American politics.
Yeah, you're just not going to win. You get outspent by 3x.
Wow.
Immediately following his big second victory, it was later revealed on wiretaps that Rod was downtrodden and compared himself to Nixon, saying, quote, "It's good to get reaffirmed by the people. That means a lot to me, and it cuts into the depression. But it still feels almost like Nixon after he was reelected. Fucking angry the next day, depressed, people were leaving, and I was getting kind of stuck into this 4-year deal," end quote.
And that's also like Nixon's core character flaw, right? Is like the the way he had personalized politics to the degree that it like destroys his presidency.
This is just like a stand-up not being satisfied until the next show where he needs the adulation of the fans. Give me that next laugh.
Yeah, and just you don't understand that you've pulled a magic trick. Like you've gotten reelected governor of a major American state. Like what are you sad about? Like you're not particularly great at anything.
It's weird because like you would think he's a narcissist and he has to be to a certain extent to do this, but he's so insecure at the same time.
Well, narcissists are insecure. They like feed off other people's energy. They're feeding off, you know, the adulation, as you said, of others. And they have to find their next victim.
Really does have to catch that next high.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was 2023, Blagojevich could have joined Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman in getting some help with his depression. But this was 20 years ago, and Rod was drowning in a sea of machismo. His behavior began to grow more and more erratic. According to his deputy governor, Rod would only spend a handful of hours per week in the office. He was de Blasio-esque for the New Yorkers who are listening, which meant he would work out half the day and avoid doing his job during business hours as much as humanly possible. And when important legislation needed to be discussed and debated, Rod would just leave. He'd often hide in the bathroom. But I bet his private bathroom was much nicer than the bathroom you're imagining. He got a few things done, but not nearly as much as his first term. He funded free transit rides for senior citizens, and people seemed to like that. But it wasn't enough for Rod. At this point in the program, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, this Rod guy doesn't seem so bad. I don't know why these assholes over here at Fraudster's Pod want to jump all over my guy. I love Rod Blagojevich. I'm in love with him.
Thank you, Pee-wee.
A lot of you are saying that. And you say a lot of you. This is my Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Rod's Pee-wee?
Yeah, Rod's Pee-wee.
Oh.
Got him. Whoa. A lot of you are saying stuff like that right now, I'm sure. But we haven't gone over his real crimes yet. You're so impatient. Did you know that he and his wife spent more than $400,000 on their clothing budget during his 7 years in office? Does that seem like a lot?
No.
They actually spent more on clothing between 2002 and 2008 than on anything else. Does that sound cool? Maybe it does.
$400,000 on clothing is insane.
I spend that in a month.
Hey.
On clothing that I don't even wear. Month. My closet.
You should not have a starter home budget.
For clothing. That's why I don't have a starter home.
Next week for part two of our Rod Stravaganza, where we will detail all the reasons you should fall out of love with Rod. I know, it's tough. He's cute, but he is very bad. Lock up your daughters with trust funds, people. We'll get into this more next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Fraudsters. Follow us on your favorite social media platform and podcast platform. Check out the show notes for the show's social media links so you can follow us and see the resources we use for this episode. Fraudsters is hosted by me, Sina Gaznavi, Justin Williams, and Ariel Lieti. Fraudsters is produced by Jordan LaConcia, written by Nick Turner, and edited by Ryan Connor. Noreen Malik is our production coordinator. Research was provided by Patrick Fisher. Legal research by Robert Resigliano. Music by Grant Gordon. The executive producer is me, Sina Gaznavi, and this has been a production of Zero Cool and The Last Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.